It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, the Real Housewives of Potomac. Recap, episode 352, Sharing is Caring. I serve as your humble and also gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Potomac Recap. If you could be so kind to ensure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe. And as always, with your Real Housewives of Potomac coverage, you can watch this audio podcast in video. Head over to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel, click subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know what you think about this week's recap. Dr. Jatia Hart Taylor and I are back after a quick Super Bowl break, and we are covering episode 13 of season 8. We are getting into the DR trip, the NECA versus Wendy, the Mia and Karen. We're getting into it all this week. So listen, let's get into this week's Real Housewives of Potomac recap.
It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this
week.
We're
back.
Covering the Real Housewives of Potomac, season 8, episode 13. We took a week off because of the Super Bowl. Texas,
yes,
Hold'em.
Or as we should call it, the Usher Bowl.
I mean, I was going to say Texas Rodeo, okay? 16 carriages.
Okay, all right. She did that. She did that.
Mother 8, and so while the Usher Bowl, while Texas Hold'em was popping, we are back this week giving you your Real Housewives of Potomac. Before we dive in to this week's episode, because sharing is caring, how are you feeling today?
Oh, well, you know, today I am making it work today. That is really the theme. I'm not feeling so great, but you know what? Heart, hands, we're going to make it through.
Yes, I love that. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. And you know, that's the mantra over here. So
yeah.
Glad that you are here. We appreciate you over here at the Purple Pants Podcast for being so consistent. It's our 13th episode of this season. So yeah, listen.
Thank you to everybody who's listening. We appreciate all your comments, even when they're wrong. But you know, keep it coming. It's got to be two sides, you know?
Yes. So this episode kicks off Mia not in the house, but in the penthouse apartment, her and Gordon. Gordon is getting ready for field day, and Mia is recapping the Happy Eddie event. She seems to leave out some key details.
Just a little bit. Almost. She almost got it like perfectly, because of course Mia is known for recapping facts and stating things just as she heard them. So of course, you know, she almost gets it right here.
Almost. And so she just tells Gordon about the event and her getting into it with the Grand Dame,
right,
as we know now. But, you know, leaves out the part about potentially effing
the rapper.
The
right?
rapper. Right. That allegedly her and Gordon hang out together. Nevertheless, Ashley stops by, and again, Mia is on her Barbara Walters this season. She's asking the questions, getting to know. She shares with Ashley that her and Gordon on their last date night or date afternoon, because you know they don't got a nanny, so it's date afternoon.
Day dates.
day dates. She was sharing that Gordon proposed to Mia that if they were ever to break up, that it would more be a situational ship. They'll have to work out something, an arrangement.
So she asked the ultimate situationship holder, Ashley, you know, she was like, well, how, you know, I feel like what they didn't show was Ashley explaining her situationship and telling Mia, this is what you should ask for, girl, in a situationship. But she does say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to divorce them. My birthday is coming up. And, you know, by the end of the year. And I don't think we saw that at the end of the year. Did you?
My internet, because, you know, I'll be keeping my ears to the streets. We do know that Michael Darby's lawsuit with Candace was thrown out. I didn't see an official divorce.
I didn't see any other court action, and, you know, we'd be on Darby watch. So, I mean, we would have known, I think. But, you know, it's good to see that she has plans. Maybe we'll see them soon. But, yeah, they're just, you know, two girls chatting about their situationships with their husbands, you know. Yeah.
Ashley says she remembers being picked up in the second grade, her grandmom coming to get her and watching her mom move out of a home. And so that's traumatizing. So there's a piece of me that understands Ashley, right? Like, you trying to provide for your kids by any means, and you're not trying to, like, keep this generational trauma going. So I can understand it a little.
You know what? I am glad she shared that, because it helps to explain kind of, like, you know, why she's holding on so tight when it seems like everybody, you know, everybody thinks she should let go. And it's because, yeah, she's, you know, she ain't trying to be out on the curb. Like she was twice, and that's got to be very traumatizing. Also, I want to say shout out to the pictures, the throwback pictures where she saw her mom was looking like a red hot fox. Okay?
Sheila, okay.
Look, Sheila was like, wow, she was ready for it. Okay,
shout out to
and
Sheila.
Got young Ashley and hot Sheila. Okay.
Yes, and then we take it on to the meeting. We have been praying to the sanctuaries, not
right, the shrines.
The shrines to
the shrines for this meeting.
NECA and Wendy meet. How do you think their meeting goes?
So Wendy had on a very cute outfit.
She did.
I will give her that. And I thought it started out well. And then, you know, NECA apologized for calling her mom a witch and for calling Wendy a bitch. I didn't hear any apologies come out of Wendy's mouth, though. And then Wendy tried to use the reason, it's like, why should I apologize for the things that my family are doing? And I was
right.
Yeah, you can. You can, you know, make them not do that, but you can't say, I'm sorry, what my family is doing is hurting you. And she's like, oh, and they're allegations. So you could tell she went back and played the tape and really wrote this out, like, it was so, like, calculating. Like, you really called my mom a bitch. You were just alleging that my mom, it's not provable. I'm like, okay, come on.
Right. It was, for me, it was a little gaslighting, right? Where it's like, I have proof that you have called me a B, but what you're saying is hearsay. NECA said, but I could get Lebe to come and testify, and all you need is one person to testify to make something a fact. Okay, I learned that from the DA down there in Georgia over this weekend when they tried to put her on trial. Did you see any of those clips of her?
I saw soundless clips, and her face told me everything I needed to know.
First of all, she got on that stand and said, I object. Okay, girl, when can you
kill? You can do that.
A girl.
I don't think she can do that.
Miss Mama's eight. That prosecutor up, if you don't know what we're talking about, the trial.
Fannie Willis, honey. Fannie Willis' face was killing him, okay? Killing him softly.
She ate him up.
She was having none of that. She was like, what's this got to do with it? Nothing. Next.
I've never seen a witness get on the stand and demand documents. Okay? Like, I'm going to have to send you some stuff because she was eating it up. So, yeah, NECA and Wendy, they don't really come to a resolve. They agree that they can coexist, but it seems that Wendy kind of really went there with an agenda and was like, girl, I'm not really giving you nothing. We gonna meet. You gonna apologize for calling my mom this and that, and that's it. I feel like Wendy,
she could have apologized for calling her a crackhead,
right? Not smoking crack. Whitney told us we don't smoke crack
is lawack. Okay, so it's I just don't understand. she was trying to dominate that girl, and it made her look mean. And yeah, whatever. I hope we never have to hear this story again.
It kind of, the way that Wendy, now again, I'm with Wendy. Anybody come from my mom, okay, you're gonna have to make it right. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I do feel like it was very technical and very convenient.
I felt like it was contrived. She had her points, like she had talking points, and it wasn't in a good way. It just made her look conniving, like she planned all this from the start. So it wasn't a good look for her. And it seemed like NECA came with like an open heart,
right,
wanting to solve this.
And so they break the third wall. The last time we have seen the third wall broken was last season with Candace in the workout room with Giselle after Giselle dropped
the fourth wall. They broke the fourth wall.
Girl, it's not the third wall.
No, it's like a room with boxes. And then 1, 2, 3, and then you're breaking. Like if you go like this, that's breaking the fourth wall.
If it's TV, it's really only 1, 2. This the third. The third wall is in front of you.
The wall in the back. 1, 2, 3 is like a box, and this is the fourth wall. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen. They broke the fourth wall with NECA, and we see NECA talking to a producer. We haven't seen this since season 7 again with Candace and Giselle. And NECA is visibly upset. She's like, "I'm not upset at Wendy. I'm just frustrated at the situation where it's like." She knows the truth, but she doesn't want to admit it. And so it seems interesting enough, but at least we get somewhat of a truce that they can coexist. And I am all good and dandy for that.
I love it as a plot, like a plot point. When they're trying to show like that somebody was really wrong, they bring in the producers. Like, right. So I just love it. It's like, yeah, like the producers even be like, oh, she's
like, right. It's like, oh, this is a lot. Wendy's a lot. But I mean, again, I don't agree with Wendy. However, if I'm in that position, I'm serving it like Wendy, though. I'm giving the pump off. I'm giving, like, you know, like, I just know Wendy, before she shoots these scenes, she sits. Do you ever like, have you ever gotten to an argument with somebody in your head while you in the shower and you be cussing them out in the shower? Like, I can't, but like, you did, like, I just know that Wendy.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, when she does that, she doesn't come across genuine and warm. Maybe it's and she clearly don't care.
I mean, listen, this is what I'll say. She ate that walkout. So, I mean, if we're giving walkouts, we give her a walkout. Yeah. Now, we fast forward to Candace. And it's so interesting how the tables turn. Candace is shooting a scripted series. She is, again, gearing up for
the 56th leg of
the Deep Space
Tour. The Deep Space Tour.
We didn't see more you gearing up and more rehearsals than we've seen shows. But listen, nevertheless, I have Deep Space. It is a jam. I'd be trying to put Jatia on. And I was also mad that Candace didn't come. Deep Space didn't come to Philly. Because, you know, I like to see my girls when they come. It didn't come to Philly. She came to Philly last year during Black Gay Pride. And I was happened to be on tour of, you know, my Bryson Wynn Tour 43. So I was booked and busy. So I was sad that I couldn't see her. But she's gearing up for this tour. And I don't know how I feel about how she came for Chris. Now, you know, I hate to love Chris, but I do enjoy Chris.
And
I feel like when we met Chris, he had an established career. Then with the Housewives, then he had to get a new job. Then he was the manager at TGI Fridays on the rooftop. And then Candace had a problem with his hour.
Not the TGI Friday. I like Chris. He had his restaurant, and I think that's just a kind of very fickle business. So I'm not going to say that, but I like Chris. I thought he was very grounding for her.
Absolutely. And now, you know, she says he works from home and he is a
Content creator
on the YouTube. And mind you, I do follow him on TikTok, and I have made a couple of his recipes. And
so shout out to him. Clearly, he's doing something right.
Okay, and listen, I don't like to weight shame because, you know, I'm a little chunky over here. But it do look like Chris has been enjoying his creations.
Yes.
And so it's just very interesting because we rewind a year ago where Candace had the problem with him working, and now he is essentially saying, like, I want you home. Like, I miss time with you. Then they go into, like, we got these babies on ice. Like, you know, are we having kids or not? And then Candace brings up her issue about the mass that they found in her breast. She's worried about the hormones that she would have to take, whether it would expand it. She then brings a letter to Chris, basically saying that the doctor said that it's not breast cancer, but they need to continue to follow up. Your thoughts. Before I let you have your thoughts, because, mind you, I feel like I be speaking for you sometimes, but I, again, being your friend and going through this experience with you, I just feel like I'm with Candace on this, right? Like, Candace has something in her body. The doctors are saying, okay. But she like, I don't want to be fine with just okay. Breast cancer runs in my family. Like, let's be a little bit more proactive. Tell me your thoughts.
She said it was an enlarged lymph node. I would, you know, you need your lymph nodes. So I would follow up with the doctor. when she said it, I was like, no, don't lose your lymph nodes. Because, you know, they basically clean out your white blood cells and, you know, their lymphatic drainage. So you don't want to lose the lymph node. You need your lymph node system. I've lost some lymph nodes and I want my back. So I don't know if she donating that one. No, that's a joke. You can't take somebody else's lymph nodes. But I thought she should definitely follow up with it. But, you know, she should listen to the doctors. But, you know, hey, girl, go make you another doctor appointment. If you want a second opinion, get you second, third, fourth, whatever opinions you want. And I do think you should stay on top of it.
I do love how, although Chris and Candace are arguing about she's gone, I love that instantaneously when it comes to health. I love how Chris gets serious, supportive. I felt like he was listening. Like, you know, I like Chris. Like, I've always liked Chris. I just, you know, haven't liked the situation that he's been in. But I've always liked me some Chris.
Yeah, I think he's always been fun. So I'm glad to see they do not get to a point about the babies on ice or when that's going to happen. I thought that was very interesting that, you know, they skipped over that part.
I believe when we first met Candace, a part of her arc was she wanted to have children. So it is very interesting. And speaking of the babies, Giselle, her Grace, she is graduating. And I never realized that Giselle's twins were only a year younger than Grace. And so it is, yeah, because she basically, in this scene, she was like, next year I'm going to have to go through this all again. I didn't know, you know, Pastor Brian and Giselle was not.
I thought they were 2 years apart. Because you can be 2 years apart and still, you know, because this.
Well,
years.
Regardless, they're going to be graduating next year.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, it's just like it. Seeing Grace got me a little emotional, which even more got me emotional was seeing. First of all, this is the first time we got to see Giselle's mom, Joanne.
We've seen her before.
When have we met Giselle's mom?
When they all went down to New Orleans.
Only Giselle's dad came out. You're thinking of Robin's mom.
Okay, maybe
they do look similar. Was sad for me because I know that this is probably one of the last times that Giselle's father filmed because her father passed after wrapping this season. So I know that had to have been hard for Giselle. But again, I loved seeing her dad being there, encouraging the grandkids. Now, Pastor Bryant.
Yes, it was good to see him too.
I could just tell through that speech, it was given a little too long. Like, I could just tell that he was given a eulogy, a benediction.
A sermon? He was given a whole sermon. It wasn't just like a little blessing. It wasn't like, you know, it's like when the the preacher start blessing the food, and then he get long-winded, and your food gets cold, and you start opening one eye and being like, oh, sir, could you please wrap it up before my whole entire plate is one temperature.
Or it's that Thanksgiving that your great-great-grandma on Ernestine's side.
Right. And yeah, so anyway, but it was nice to see her whole family coming together and celebrating. I love whenever Giselle talks about her girls. And then we had some nice flashbacks to when they looked like little girls. I think maybe they were like 10 and 11 or 12, something like that. So it was just nice to see the progression. I always love when the seeing the progression of the housewife's children.
It seems like it happened so fast, though. Like, it's like,
it's because you're old. So, sorry.
No, baby. What? See what happens over here, okay?
It happens in real time for me, but I don't know you, Benjamin Button. I don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
Somebody has new swag.
Okay. So we ain't doing it over here. But yeah, I mean, I am getting older. But again, I just love seeing the babies. There is, in the Housewife franchise, right? I don't know why. The only kids that I am really, I wonder if you'll be able to guess, but you probably won't, but I'm going to ask you. There's only one set of children that I really feel like are my babies. And I'm wondering if you can guess.
I want to say it's Teresa Judy. I know you.
Have I?
You, okay.
I don't care what nobody
says. You're a Melania stan. You like Melania. I know you do.
I feel like Melania, Gia, Audriana. I don't know why I feel like they are like my little sisters. First of all, I follow all of them on Instagram. I be commenting on
them. I knew this was going to be the answer. Look,
I follow Melania on the TikTok. I love her. I don't know why
Melania
I have like...
Melania came out the womb ready to be a superstar. just saying off the wall stuff.
It was Gia for me when it was like, my daddy growing up, and Melania. But anyway, all right. But listen, we love the Real Housewives kids. Then here's a tradition that I don't like. I hate right before a trip when a group of us get together to go shopping for the trip, but nobody buys anything for the trip.
Well, they have to get the pre-talk. I think that's like, you have to have a pre-talk scene. Like, what's the drama? You have to set this. It's a scene setter. It's a scene setter for the trip, right? Because you don't want the first, because it's not like they can really talk at the airport because they're already all together. So you do have to have a shopping trip for the trip so that you can find out who is going to be at odds, who's running the trip, what they got planned. It's the scene setter.
I mean, I get it. But, like, does it have to be shopping? Like, let's play pickleback. Let's get our nails
pickleball?
Done. Pickleball? Pickleball. Sorry.
Okay. It's pickleball and Nickelback. I was like, I didn't know if you was talking about the band or the game. But okay.
I mean, I was talking about the game with the band playing in the background. Nickelback. Okay?
Got it. You know? Okay. That makes sense. Pickleback.
reasonably. So we have Robin, Nekka, and Mia. They meet up to talk about the DR. Mia is giving her rundown about Karen. She feels like Karen switches up when she's with Wendy and Candace, so she knows what to expect. Nekka explains that she met up with Wendy, but it seemed like Wendy didn't want to meet with her. Robin is like, she don't want to be your friend. And that's really it. Now, baby, now let's get to the only thing I really want to talk about. So we get to the DR. We are flying. We get into the DR. We are on the Sprinter to the DR, to the resort. This is Robin's trip. And again, say what you want. There are many reasons why we love the Grand Dame. Okay. It's either if she's drinking, if she's shifting the wig, if she's getting Mia together, or if she is telling us an antidote. We learn. I mean, there is not anything. We learn new things about the Grand Dame each season. Now we learn that the Black Bill Gates every year goes to the DR.
Off in them streets.
To play golf. Now, I'm not married. I don't have no husband, but I do know that there are places that they say, like, you shouldn't let your male partner go on vacation. I want to say one is Colombia.
Brazil.
Brazil and the DR. Now, I don't know what those reasons are.
But I think you can infer.
But they always say it's red flags when your partner, husband, wants to go on those trips solo, dolo, or with the guys. And so, being what it is, Karen says that early in their marriage, Ray was going to the DR. Now, mind you, how long? They're an institution. So Ray has institutionally been going to the DR annually.
Institutional knowledge of the DR. The story for me, the whole, she called and then a woman picked up the phone and said, Ray is not available.
No, Mr. Hugert is not available. Now,
so I would say I'm with Karen on that. I think it's a maid or
girl. What girl? Now you know I'm in an elite status at hotels. What housekeeping service?
Yes,
we're not talking the front desk.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I never. Never. And so she says all that to say, well, regardless, whatever.
Well, first of all, can I say, okay, so this was 27 years ago. So it's not like they had cell phones that she could leave a message, right? It was probably one phone in all of the damn villa. And so she called the one phone, right? And asked for her husband. And then there's an answer machine. They probably got the little plug-ins and be like, oh, let me connect you to the room like that, right? And so she, the operator,
not the plug-ins.
Yeah, like, you know, and she was like, oh, yes, I see you were connected to Mr. Huger's room. He is not available. Can I leave a message? And she probably wrote down the message on a notepad and then put it in his room. So it's probably only one phone. That's what I'm saying.
Got it. Only thing that I am saying is hearing that story, one would think that we would have sympathy for the kindness of somebody's heart if someone in their DM came to Maryland and their credit card was denied and a good citizen came to put the credit card down.
I thought that the best read of this whole entire episode was Candace. Yes. Asking if Juan was paying for the trip since he'd like to help out ladies in hotels. That was funny. Now, Candace, I had to give it to her.
Candace going to eat. Okay.
Yes. So I thought the trip was also a good thing. Also, the whole room debacle. You knew it was always going to be something about the rooms.
Well, I love that it's Robin's way to stick it to Karen. Because not for nothing, they have done Giselle and Robin very shadily over the years. Especially, I forget who threw that trip. I don't know if it was Karen or Mia or whoever. But when they were upstairs in that house.
In that little blue bedroom with the twin beds.
Yeah, that was a lot. Now, also, I'm just confused. Like, Kiarna is allegedly Wendy's friend, but knows Giselle. First of all, I'm confused as to why is Kiarna on this trip and Shasha is
Robin.
Not...
Robin invited Kiarna.
Why would
probably the new people here? Oh, that was rude.
Where is Shasha? I need Shasha on this trip.
I think Shasha was overruled. So I thought it was interesting that Wendy didn't want to stay with her. That none of the housewives wanted to stay with her. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Especially
but I guess Wendy and old girl got a scheme and plot and decide what they're going to do. So I don't understand, like, if she's nobody's homegirl that, you know, they're vouching for, why is she there? And she getting a room alone.
Well, I think because the way that it broke down, because Karen, you know, they gave the solo rooms to NECA, Giselle, and Ashley. And then there were two.
And Ashley gave hers to
Karen. And then Karen was like, oh, no, I got an American Express. Then Karen.
She went back into
it. Also, it's like, Karen, do you know how these resorts work? Girl, you know, people be like, so Karen was like, no, Ashley, you keep yours. They're going to get me a room and a thing. And then all of a sudden, she says the manager says that they were being too loud, so they didn't want to give her another room. I don't believe that. I believe that production was like, well, I mean, I don't know, because you could pay for your own trip. But anyway, Ashley graciously enough then gave Karen her room. She's going to stay with Mia. Now, this is the Giselle and Karen level of shade that I like it at, right? Not too aggressive, but like it will hit a sore spot. Giselle feels some type of way because Karen said that NECA's home is North Potomac.
In North Potomac, right? Which, I mean, whatever.
And, you know, NECA, Ike works hard to pay for that home. And Karen is currently renting. So they decided to have this ceremony to give the grand dame.
To crown a new grand dame. I thought it was funny. I mean, come on, calling yourself the grand dame is, you know, which old girl did make up the name. So, I mean, whatever. It was funny. It was shade.
But you know, the LaDames aren't going to go for it. And you know how Karen, they tried to do this before, though. You know, they tried to do this with Charisse.
Yes.
And Karen is very protective over that title. So, but again, I love this level of shade where it's like not serious, but it's kind of funny. But you also know in the back of your mind, Karen is not going to like that. Then all of a sudden,
also they had props, so it's all props are always good.
Well, I mean, not pay your taxes, free Uncle Ben. That wasn't a good
one. That was not funny.
So we got to be clear on the props. And of course, Candace takes offense to this and says she's not. She's had enough. She's not participating in this.
I don't even see why this is a thing, but okay.
So we got day one of the DR trip, and we're excited to see. Hopefully they can wrap the DR up faster than they did Austin, because I feel like Austin was about 4 episodes.
The rest of the season is going to be set in the Dominican Republic. It's going to be the Real Housewives of the DR for the rest of the season. Or the aftermath from the DR. So, yeah, so basically they kick off the trip, the episode one of the 4 about the trip. I mean, it is, because it's going to be like getting there, 2 episodes there, and then the leaving episode. It probably is going to be 4 episodes. I just want them to move on. Like, I don't want them to talk about Juan no more. I don't want them to talk about witches and shrines no more. We need some new stuff. That y'all got to move on. It's like, this has been 2 seasons in the making. You got to move on. It's starting to get a little stale for me.
Well, listen, move on is what we will do. And we know that at the GNA launch party, throw them bowls will get thrown. Also in the housewife realm, we have got official reports that Portia Williams Gudaba will be returning to the Housewives of Atlanta. I'm here for that.
How did you find that out?
They announced it.
No, but who sent the announcement to you? Since we talk about how
girl. Okay, but Jatia, let me show you. Let me give you a class.
Yes, I do. Okay, sir.
No, that's baby. For. Yes. Okay, Jatia, you did send it to me in the DM, but did you happen to look above the message that I sent you before the message that you sent me?
No, why would
I? Because I had sent you that announcement, but it's fine. I'll give it to you. Listen, we appreciate you. All the due diligence. That
I'm
you
busy.
Did.
I got the internet tea for you. You always talking about.
I mean, I had provided it to you 30 minutes before, but listen, nevertheless, we appreciate it. So again, with Candy gone, we know that Nene is not coming back. They have shut that down. She like Bravo, MSNBC. They are not interested. Fingers crossed, though. I said I would never watch it again without Nene. However, if Portia and Phaedra return, they could have me for the first couple of episodes. I would be inclined to see what's going on in the streets.
We'll see. You know, I don't know. They'd have to get rid of Marlo for me too.
Well, listen, I love Marlo, but maybe I'll be fine as long as Marlo's like a friend of the show. But I love Marlo though. So, but I know you hate it. But listen, this has been your Real Housewives of Potomac season 8, episode 13 recap. We'll be back next week in the DR giving you episode 14. Jatia, Dr. Jatia Hart Taylor with multiple.
Have a great
homes.
Week, everybody. Thank you for joining. Mwah, 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 mwah.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.